I want to do a little bit of a summary here. I talked about looking back, trying to give us our direction for this year. Where are we headed? As I looked at New Year's, I looked back and I was just so thankful. Thankful for a lot of things. I was thankful for Jesus, that He saved me. Thankful that I get to go to heaven. I'm thankful for my family. For all my kids and all of their spouses and grandkids. Oh my gosh, being a grandpa is the greatest thing in the world. So awesome. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for you. You come every Sunday and listen. And not only listen, but you're alive and that you're allowing the Word of God to get inside of you, that your lives are changing. And we desire to have an effect on our community and all that we come in contact with. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the privilege of being your pastor. Both Carrie and I, we get to be your pastors. And what a blessing that is. What a privilege that is. I never wake up going, oh my gosh, I hate my job. I don't really have a job. I have a ministry. And I wake up in the morning blessed because I get to face you guys and get to speak to you and you respond. And I get to hear from you and you speak into my life and I get to change. And we could be a part of something that God called this church that is life transforming and we get to be in it together. And that is so awesome. And what a privilege that is. I'm thankful for life, that we get to breathe. We get to enjoy one another. We go through pains and sorrows and losses, but we also have gains and relationships and friends and things that touch our life in such powerful ways. And that we also have heaven ahead. Thank you also that in these last couple of weeks, I've spent definitely a little extra time with my family since a couple of them are going to be leaving. I'm thankful that we made it for the year financially. Thankful that you guys are faithful servants and saints, and that was a real blessing. I'm thankful that God has much ahead for us in 2011. Everybody say 2011. It's funny, we were talking about this. You know, when we first started, it was year 2000. Then it was 2001 and 2002 and 2003. But then we get to 2011, you don't say 2000, you say 2011. You know when you go backwards and you say 1938, you don't say 1938, you always say 1938. And now we're in the 2000s, and it seemed like in that first couple of years, we had 2001, 2002, because we didn't know what to say. Get to 2010, we get to 2011, I think it's going to be 2011 and 2012, and never mind, I don't know, it was just a thought that came to me. I said two points, and I want to talk about these 2 points this morning, and we're going to get into a series of messages and some things about this. The first thing we talked about on New Year's, I felt like the Lord was saying that this year, 2011, will be a year to remember. It will be a year to remember, not because horrific things are going to happen, I'm not trying to say that, but because awesome things of God will happen, regardless of what they may be. They may be trying things, they may be joyful things, exuberant things. It will just be a year to remember. It'll be a year, I think, where God is going to do some things in a powerful way, and that we're to remember. We're to remember. As we move forward into 2011, I think there's some things that we need to remember. We need to remember that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We need to remember about how faithful He is to us. We need to remember how good He is. Remember all the things that He's done for you. It creates such a gratefulness as we move forward into the next year, or into the year we're in. We need to remember that you're forgiven. You know, I'm not the greatest person in the world, and I've made some really great mistakes in my life. But I am so thankful that I'm forgiven. But those mistakes don't have to stop me in my life. But I have a Lord and Savior who forgives and transforms. I'm so thankful for some of the stupid things that I have done. The Lord has given me His forgiveness. I'm thankful for that. I need to remember that I'm forgiven. We need to remember that He has a future and a hope for us. I appreciated Pastor Joe's message last Sunday, and I also was tardy for that when I should have been here, and I thank you for allowing me to be gone. I was with my family. We went and saw my mom and for the last time with Christian since she'll be gone for a while. So I appreciate your graciousness in allowing me to go. I do have so much leave that I'm losing it, so I thought, well, I'll use some of it. It's being expired because I'm not using it. I loved what he said when he talked about remember God's glory. Things about to remember. And God uses remember numerous times in the scripture. He talked about remembering his glory, remembering God's deliverance, remembering God's protection, remembering God's leading, remembering God's provision, remembering God's jealousy, his wonders, his timing, his holiness, his justice. Remember to remember. We need to remember God. Sometimes we get so narrow and we get frustrated with life, what's happening here, and we forget what we're a part of. How awesome heaven and his grace and his forgiveness and his life and his transformation, because we get so zeroed down on this one little problem that we're having with our life, and it's horrible. Oh my gosh. And we miss where we are. We get so centered on one issue and forget everything else that he has done for us, how vast it's been. That's why he says, remember, remember. Yeah, remember that little problem you go through? Remember, I've delivered you from many ones. So with that, let it produce an expectancy and an excitement and a desire to move forward rather than a pity party and oh, woe is me and all of that. God is good. All the time, right? And all the time. God is good. Do we remember that? No, right now my AT&T bill doesn't work out. I can't get coverage. I mean, we get... And I know that some of our problems are bigger than that, but honestly, when we look at it in light of the Lord, it's so good. So good. God told us to remember. I think sometimes as Christians, we remember what we're to forget, and we forget what we're to remember. We got it messed up. We remember all the negative and horrible things and the people that hurt us and all of that, and we forget all the wonderful and gracious things that happened to our life. Instead of forgetting all of the cruddy things that have happened in your life, remember all the gracious and wonderful things that happened in your life. It's our choice to remember what you want to remember. You can remember what you want. Lord, help me to remember all of the great things that you have done. This is a year to remember. In Philippians 3, it says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, forget and go on. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Forgetting, that word forgetting is the Greek word that means to lose out of my mind. It's gone. It's gone. I forget it. I forget all the cruddies. I just want to let go of it. And I want to remember all of the positive things and all the great things that God's done for me. We need to neglect all those negative things and don't nurse them. Let me say, we need to neglect, don't nurse what's behind. Some of those painful things that are, they're behind. They're a pain in the rear. Let them stay behind. Don't bring them back around to the front. Let's see if you can chase them back and try to get them. Let them go. I love this video on the Lion King. Do you have that?
Come on, Timon. Anything we can do?
Not unless you can change the past.
You know, kid, in times like this, my buddy Timon here says you gotta put your behind in your past.
No.
I mean...
Amateur. Lie down before you hurt yourself. It's you gotta put your past behind you.
Put your past in your behind. I like it said that way. Put your past in your behind. Let it go. Get it behind you. Get it behind you. Get it behind you. Get it behind you. We say, get behind thee. Remember that scripture? Get behind thee. We never say, get in front of me, Satan. I never hear it commanded. Come in front of me, Satan. It's get behind thee. Why? We're supposed to forget. Get behind me. Get back there. Not get in front of me. And yet we take painful memories and issues and we go, get in front of me. Painful thing. Get in front of me. Hurtful situation. Get in front of me. Awky, icky, bad stuff. Instead of get behind thee. Get behind thee. Put it in your behind. Put your past behind you. You know, I'm thankful that your behind is behind you. It's behind you, right? It's not in front of you. It's behind. That's why we call it a behind. A hiney. Behind. It's back there. Behind. Why? So we can't see it. Most of us can't see our behind unless you're really athletic. It's behind me. Most people aren't How's my behind looking? That's why women have to say, does this thing make my pants, does this make my behind look big? You have to ask somebody else. It's behind. Get behind thee, Satan. Get behind thee, bad junk. Get behind me. I don't want to remember that. I want to remember the positive things, the good things. Get in front of me, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Powerful things that have happened in my life, let them be the things that guide me, not my behind. Our dog, Allison, is a great dog. I love the dog. I tease about the dog, but I really do enjoy the dog. See? Said it. The dog will sit and lie down and all that stuff. He does everything on command. Even the dog will go, when I don't want her, I'll go, go away. And she'll leave me. I mean, it's great. The dog understands. Her love language is physical touch, though. You got to touch her. She cries. But there's one thing I just don't... Every once in a while, the dog will chase her tail. And then she starts running around and chasing her tail again. And I go, you look absolutely ridiculous. And then every once in a while, she grabs it and pulls on it. I mean, it's like, what are you chasing your tail for? What are you looking behind you for? I'm saying, do you know that sometimes we chase our tail? And we look just as stupid? Just as ridiculous? Is Allison trying to chase her tail? I look at that and I go, please don't do it. You make me look bad as a master as you're chasing your tail. You look, it just doesn't look right. What if the Lord says, hey, I'm your master. Don't chase your tail. Put your past behind. Get behind thee, Satan. Get behind the issue. Get behind me, bad memory. Lord, flood my mind with how good you are, how wonderful you are, how you came through, how the problem was there, but you solved it and you helped me. And even though it was difficult and it was hard, but Lord, I grew out of that. Let me remember all of the positive things. I have a scar on my knee and I love to every once in a while pull it up. I'll pull it up and I'll show people. And they go, look at me, go, you're crazy. See that scar? I'm kind of proud of the scar now. Back then, I was crying and moping. I thought my whole life was over. But now I look back at it, it's like a war wound. I go, hey, look at that. It has no more power. I'm saying I see the benefit now of it. Instead of seeing it negatively, I can see it positively. We have to realize all the stuff that's happened in our life, God wants to use it for our good. So let go of the stuff that's hurting you and enjoy the powerful things and the lessons you've learned that will cause you to move forward and ahead and trusting a loving and a gracious God that will help you every step of the way. Remember, don't reject what's ahead. We need to neglect, don't nurse what's behind, but we need to remember and don't reject what's ahead. Don't reject what's ahead of you. God has good stuff. If you're always looking at your behind, you can't see what's ahead. If you're always looking at your behind, you can't see what's ahead. So let's forget the behind. Let's look forward to what's ahead. What's ahead? Christ, life, heaven, eternity. There's so many things to keep our perspective moving ahead and excited about life. When we forget what God has done, we get hopeless. When we remember what God has done, we get hopeful. When we remember the right stuff, it keeps us doing the right things, and it keeps us on the right track. Remember the wrong stuff, you get into wrong areas. Remember the right stuff. So how do we make it a year to remember? We need to remember that our goal is heaven. Our goal is heaven. And I want to get to my second point. A year to remember. Secondly, I think it's a year to touch heaven. We coined the phrase, Trent as well, touch heaven in 2011. Let's touch heaven in 2011. What would it be like to touch heaven? We're supposed to look ahead and look up. What would it be like to really touch heaven in 2011? What does that look like? You know that the word heaven in the Bible is used 550 times. Five, the number of grace, oddly enough. 550. 550 times the word heaven is used in the Bible. That means for most of you in your Bible, every other page the word heaven is going to be on it. Every other page the word heaven is going to be on it. You turn the page, there's going to be heaven on that page. Turn a page, on that one there's going to be heaven. On the other side, heaven. Why? Because it's an important concept to him. Hence, if heaven is a huge concept to God. It's very, very important. I think Eden, you know, when God developed Eden, he took heaven and he put some heaven on earth. He made this earth and then he put a little heaven in it and he called it Eden. And all of a sudden we got a little taste of heaven. If it's not heaven itself, at least we have a little taste of what it's like. Adam and Eve were tasting heavenly realms. They were tasting heavenly concepts. They were tasting heavenly principles. You see, in heaven there's no sin. At first, they were tasting this concept of they were without sin. It was awesome. They were tasting heavenly stuff. This concept of heaven is awesome to God. But then we kind of messed it up a little bit there. This great ideal that God had, we messed up and sin enters the world and this little taste of heaven kind of got squandered away and we lost the taste. All we do is have the memories of what it tasted like. Heaven, we had it. At least a taste of it. And then it was gone, or at least it was heavenly. I want to talk about that understanding. I want to look at the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to turn to Luke 11, 1 through 4. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching the disciples. He's teaching us. We're learning from the scriptures here. How do we pray? And he begins to give us some items that are important in our dialogue with God. If you want to pray, if you want a dialogue, because prayer is dialogue, if you want to chat with me, if you want to go online and chat with God, here's what I like. We get a glimpse of what God desires in our chat. And we get it straight from the horse's mouth. I don't mean to call Jesus a horse, but you know, he is God himself. He's the second person of the Trinity. And he's telling us, hey, when you pray, and remember, he is God, so when you pray to me, the second person, there's the first person, and you don't understand the Trinity, but I'm saying we're hearing it firsthand, if you hear what I'm saying. We're not hearing it from Paul or somebody else telling us. We're actually hearing it from Jesus himself. We're hearing it from God himself. What do you like in this dialogue? And here's what he says he likes in Luke 11, 1 through 4. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Also, as John also taught his disciples, so he said to them, oh, you want to pray? Want a dialogue with me? Want a dialogue with God? When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. That word Father is both a title of honor and a call to our relationship. When you pray, our Father who's in heaven. Not, hey! Is anybody up there? Someone! Can you hear me? Hey! Is anybody up there? He didn't say that. He said, you have a Father. You're not just yelling out, hoping to get someone's attention. You have a relationship with God. You have a Father, an Abba Father in heaven is going, not seeing if you can yell loud enough and then he'll come down to you, that he is listening to you. He's right there with you. Hey, Father? Yeah? Yes, son? Yes, daughter? Know that you have relationship. You're not coming to a foreign king somewhere, bowing down, hoping that he accepts you. We're coming to our Father. When Christian, you know, comes home to visit, I doubt he's going to come in on his knees, kissing the ground, hoping that I'll receive him. I should make him do that just for the fun of it. When I see him, we're going to just run and embrace. It's not get on your knees. Crawl to me. Show me reverence. God says, I'm your daddy. I'm your Abba Father. Come. When we pray, we need to realize that we're talking to God. That we get to talk to him from relationship. Not from a distance and hoping that somehow he'll accept us. He goes on to say this, and this is the point I want to get to. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in Say it with me. On earth as it is in. On. As it is in. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us some other principles here, which I don't want to go into right now. I can do it another time. Your will be done on earth as or just like it is in heaven. He's praying for some connection between this earth and the heaven, the taste of it that we lost. God created in the garden this taste of heaven on earth, heaven on earth, and he's asking us now, hey, when you pray, what I really desire is to place heaven back down on earth again. Some concept of heaven on earth. That my will, that what's done in heaven would be done on earth, just like. The word heaven here is Uranus, and it means an implication. It means happiness, power, eternity. The word will here means choice. It's a choice. We have a choice in each and every day to do God's will and to make your life more heavenly, or to do your own thing and make your life more earthly. Do you make your life more earthly day by day or more heavenly day by day by the choices that you make in life? I want heaven to come down on earth. What are you doing about your piece of earth? What are you doing about your piece of ground? We keep going, oh, we want heaven to come down, and boom, it blows up. Hey, heaven come. No, I'm talking about where you're standing, on your little piece of ground, on your little piece of dirt, on your little piece of earth. Is heaven coming down there? The only person that can bring it down is you, on your dirt. He wants you to pray, hey, on this dirt right here, in my family, in my life, in my heaven come down. I pray that what's up there be here. That your will up there be the will down here. That what I would do up there is what I would do down here. That they come one and the same. That a taste of heaven happens once again. He's asking us to pray for it. On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. It's your choice. We learned in mirror class, you should take that class, believe me, on Wednesday nights, come to it, it's awesome, that we're choosing beings. We have the capacity to choose. What are we choosing? Are we choosing earth? Are we choosing heaven on your piece of dirt? Is your piece of dirt more earthly? Or is your piece of dirt more heavenly? Where your walk, is it more earthly? Or where you walk, is it more heavenly? What are you calling down? What are we calling down? Now, I'm not saying that heaven itself come down here and all the concepts, that eternal life, and I'm talking about some ideals of heaven, like forgiveness, that's a heavenly concept, that righteousness, which is a heavenly concept, that like salvation, which is a heavenly concept, that it would come from there and it would come down on your piece of dirt. That we walk rightly before the Lord. Have you ever heard that somebody say that, oh my gosh, blah, 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 they're sure raising hell. Have you heard about that? We've all heard that, you know, those guys are real raising hell. What does that mean? What does it mean to raise hell? They're out there raising hell. What does it mean? It means, at least in my concept, that this hellish concepts that are of the underworld, they're actually bringing up and placing on their piece of dirt so they can act like hell would act. Is that what you're going to get? They're raising hell. Hell is down. They're bringing it up so it's right here on my dirt, right on my land, in my life. These guys are raising hell. So they're doing hellish things in their life on their piece of dirt. Have we ever thought about lowering heaven? We ever look at somebody, hey, you know, you're really lowering heaven. We love to say, you're raising hell, but what about lowering heaven? What about taking heaven and going, I'm going to bring it down and place it on my piece of dirt? Instead of raising hell and me walking hellishly, I'm going to bring heaven down and walk heavenly. But we keep thinking, no, heaven is for someday. Heaven's way out there. So we just bide our time, slave away, and a reward at the end is, bing, we get heaven. But do you think from this prayer what God asked, that we're missing out on some concepts that we're to have right now, of the taste of heaven we're to experience today? How much of a taste do you want? Taste? A meal? A steady diet? Wow. Are we lowering heaven, bringing heaven from above and placing it on this earth? Something happens that's positive and we say, well, that was heavenly. I got to go. I took Saturday off and we went skiing. There's some pictures up here. We went skiing. We went up to Schweitzer and, oh my gosh, it was heavenly. The sun was showing, shining. There's Christian. There's me, the good looking one in the middle. And then these two other thugs beside me. Darth Vader right here. And there's the Lake Pend'Oreille in the background, and the sun was shining, and we were all up there. It was Christian and Creighton and was it David Sapp and David Ratliff and Doug Wiles and his sister-in-law Cassie, and who am I missing? Tommy was there. Oh, what's his name? And then me. So we were all there, and. And the sun is shining and everything's wonderful. We're going up this thing. We're going, oh my gosh, this is not heavenly. The sun's shining. Perfect snow, just kind of snow. And it was fluffy snow everywhere. We were just like, we thought, we're in heaven. This is heavenly. Why don't we live more of that reality? Why don't we bring more of heaven down? I know that was the Lord doing something there. But I'm talking about in your natural life, in your day-to-day life. Is the sun shining inside? Is it heavenly in here? Are you bringing down some heavenly values to your life? Are you putting some heaven on your piece of dirt? Are you putting heaven on earth in your life? Heaven touches down. It touches down. Touch heaven in 2011. Heaven touches down. Touchdown. You know, Roman, my grandson, Roman, a couple of months ago, he loves sports, anything to do with sports. He swings a golf club now at anything, the TV set, everything. He throws stuff and he loves all that stuff. And so we're playing football. He sees football and he goes, oh, football. And then he goes, touchdown. And he puts his hands up. And he goes, touchdown. This was a couple of months ago. He goes, touchdown. I go, say, grandpa. And he goes, blah, blah, blah. Say, touchdown. Touchdown. I'm going, what's the deal? He can say touchdown and enunciate it perfectly. And grandpa comes out like it's a bad word somewhere that they X'd out. I'm thankful to say that as of today, he can say the word fairly clearly, which is nice. But do we want heaven to touch down? Do you really want heaven to touch down in your life? Are you ready for it? Are you calling on it? Do you want heaven to come down? Heaven come down. I want heaven to touch down. Heaven to touch down. Remember years ago, and Adam would know this, I think I was on The Price is Right. Remember on The Price is Right, when they call a new contestant up? They'd say, Joe Fitzgerald, come on down. You know? And he'd stand up and he'd come running. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Yay! You know, and they're all excited. Do we say heaven? Heaven! Come on down! You're the next contestant in my life! Are we asking heaven to come on down? Are you asking heaven to come on down in your life? Heavenly principles, heavenly concepts of healing, righteousness? Are we calling heaven down, or are we just trudging through this piece of dirt called earth until we get the prize at the end? We live on the earth. We live on this earth. But I wish we lived in this heaven on earth. We live in this earth, but do we live in this heaven on earth? Do you live in a heaven on earth? God wants us to put heaven on now, but we put heaven off until later. That's why I said in the message, if you saw the message title, I said, what did I say? A year to remember. Heaven's ahead? Question mark? Oh, sure, it's ahead, but is it now too? Is it a now concept and a then concept? Phil Wade talked about it a while ago. Now but not yet, or something like that? Already but not yet? Heaven. Heaven. Are we calling it down? Are we calling it down? James and John, as they were out there going, hey, Jesus, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? They wanted to get some heaven down here and fry a few folks. But they had some sort of a concept that they could. They had some sort of a concept in their head that they actually could call something down from heaven and it would come. Do you believe you can call something down from heaven on your piece of dirt and it would show up? Do you want it to show up? Do you want heaven to come down? We look forward to going to heaven when we die. Hallelujah, it's going to be awesome. But what if we went to heaven when we were alive? How cool would that be? How cool would it be to visit heaven while you're alive? Why don't you call it down? Why don't you call it down? Why don't you call it down? How cool would that be? I'm sure, honestly, James and John, even though they were somewhat misguided, were having a blast thinking they could call stuff down from heaven. Do we? Heaven ahead, question mark? It's ahead, but it's also now, is it not? And as much as heaven you want on your piece of dirt, you can call down as much as you want or as little as you want. What are you calling down from heaven? Smith Wigglesworth was a man who knew how to reach heaven. He understood the powers available from above and knew how to bring those powers into this earthly realm. Wigglesworth once said, if you want anything from God, you will have to pray into heaven. That is where it all is. You'll have to pray it down. If you live in the earth realm and just stay in this realm and expect to receive from God, you'll never get anything. If you stay in the earthly dirt realm, expect God to do something, you won't get it. We must call heaven down. Heaven down. Have heaven touch down. Pray the power out of heaven onto your piece of dirt. You know how long it takes a snowflake? You know how long it takes a snowflake? I learned this when I went to the Weather Channel on my phone. You know how long it takes a snowflake to fall from the heavenly clouds to the earth? Do you know how long it takes for a snowflake to fall? It said it right on my little phone there. I was pushing the weather because I'm going to see what the weather report, you know, and I push it and it goes, hey, do you know how long it takes a snowflake to fall from the clouds to earth? I said, no, I do not. And then said, ding, 1 hour. It takes 1 hour for that heavenly snowflake to go from there to here. That's what it said right on my little phone. It's awesome. Isn't it kind of funny that Jesus said about prayer, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? I wonder why 1 hour? Is that how long it takes to get something from heaven to here? It takes a snowflake that long to fall. Maybe when you're praying for an issue, it takes an hour. I think some of us throw a few prayers up there and it never gets a chance to fall down because we don't wait for it for an hour. I think it's funny. Could you not tarry 1 hour? Because there's something about an hour and something falling from heaven kind of correlate together. Could you pray for the issues that you have for 1 hour? Communicate with God. Call heaven down to your piece of dirt. So that heaven might be on the earth. Heaven. Now and then. Now and then. When I think about heaven and getting ready for heaven here, now, and ahead, I started thinking about Christian and Courtney as they were packing. We helped them pack. Put all the stuff in the container and they shipped it to Hawaii. Packed all that they had in there. I started thinking about, are we packed for heaven? Then I started thinking about what we're packing. Do you know what they didn't pack in that container when they sent to Hawaii? Their winter coats. Why would you pack a winter coat for Hawaii? You know, so he didn't pack his snowboard, his snow boots. He didn't pack his snow shovel, probably because it was mine that he was borrowing. But even if he had his own, he wouldn't pack it. Why? Because you don't need it there. I started thinking about us packing. What are you putting into your life now that you'll not need there? By the way, there is here too. Heaven here. Heaven ahead. What are you packing into your life right now that has of no value at all in heaven? And we spend so much time making sure we got it. It's neatly tucked away in our life. It does us no value. What are you spending your life on, packing into it, that just really won't be needed in my heaven on earth realm, in my heaven ahead realm? Oh God, we pack such stupid stuff in our bag. What are you packing into your life right now that you will need? Might I suggest relationships? Relationships are good now and then. Relationships. Rubbing shoulders with one another. Come to Mirror Class. Learn about relationships on Wednesday. It's awesome. Relationships. Sign up for one of the small groups. Rub shoulders with somebody else. You'll need that. You'll need that. You'll need that here. You'll need that there. Oh, I don't think I need that. Yeah, you need it. You need relationships. You need friends. You need to rub shoulders. You need someone to say, hey, get a piece of toilet paper connected to your foot. Oh, gee, I didn't see that. Yeah, if you're just walking by yourself, you didn't see that. Thank God for the people that say, hey, there's toilet paper. It's about 8 or 9 feet long. I thought you were strifing a wheat field out here. Or, hey, here's a breath mint, friend. Or, hey, there's something hanging from your nose and it's stuck in your beard. All right, enough of that. We need people. We need someone. What about love? We need love. What about self-discipline? We need discipline, self-discipline in our life. What about character? We'll need that. What about service in a servant's heart? I want a little taste of heaven. I want to call heaven down. I want to make sure I'm packing right. For today and tomorrow as I move forward. Grab somebody's hand and pray with me. Father, Lord, we need to remember what you want us to remember and forget what you want us to forget as we move ahead. Lord, I believe you want us to touch some heaven in 2011. You want us to bring heaven down like you like so many in the Bible did. Things that come out of heaven that we'll talk about later here. Things from heaven that are so powerful that we have the authority to call them down. And yet our piece of dirt is getting more earthly rather than getting more heavenly. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be slighted or to be deceived by the enemy about what we need to pack, but that we're inspired by the Spirit of God who would put in that bag. Call heaven down on our piece of dirt. Help us, Lord, as we move forward. We love you. We bless you and we thank you for being so good to us, Lord. For allowing a little old guys like us call a concept like heaven out of the sky. If we'll simply tarry with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As we dismiss, I want to do two last things here. As we dismiss, I'm going to put on the board here. We're going to have, it's a rally Sunday, so you have small groups. You can get involved in all sorts of different small groups. And I want to give you the chart here. If you look up there, college and 20-somethings, you're going to be over in there. The youth are going to be over there on number 6 and 7, the front. Marriage and families, you're at these tables, the cross aisle right here. Prime ministers, you're over at that end. All ages are 3, 4, 8, and 9. You can get stuff from all ages. A little bit different than we did alphabetically before. So we thought we'd group it into areas so you could see kind of whatever area you might be a part of. And you can see some of the other things. Table number 5 is the Carpenter Series. I encourage you to get involved in that. That will radically change your life. It will be awesome. It will be awesome. Let me end with this story now. Astronaut James Irwin is one of but a few men to walk on the moon. As he stood upon the lunar landscape and looked up at the earth, he prayed for the first time in his life. He thought about the strife among nations, poverty, hunger, and rampant evil. And he thought to himself, what is more important than man walking on the moon is that God should walk on the earth. This is the desire we express when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Come, Lord Jesus, on earth as it is in heaven. If you need Jesus, come right here. I'll pray for you. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up here. If you need to get into a small group, which you all do, get involved. I love you guys and appreciate you so very much. God bless you. You're dismissed.